Build up energy in the beginning. Build up energy in the beginning. Build up energy in the beginning. Find little things to put at the beginning. There's little energy doing in the beginning. Get some energy, put it in the beginning. Get something to put in the beginning. Cause we haven't put things in the beginning.
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show, cause it's now.
Sean? Hey, Sean from Jerk Podcast. I thought that was you.
Hi. How are you doing? Thanks for listening.
Hey, don't you tell me you don't remember me, because I as heck fire sure remember you.
No, not a chance. No.
Russ from Jerk Podcast. We watch and review the first episode of a streaming series. Bing! We pair it with a movie from our childhood. Bing! You can email us at jarppodcast@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram at jarp_podcast. Bing!
Russ.
Bing!
Russ, stop. Wait. Okay, this isn't working. Russ, the first line implies that I'm stuck in this loop, right? You wrote this, and I'm aware of my predicament, but you're then saying that we're meeting for the first time, at least for the first time in your storyline, present or whatever, before I loop back, right?
And perhaps we're meeting for the first time after you've looped multiple times.
But you know, that's not where the humor comes from, right?
Well, no one said this was funny.
Yeah, but in order for the joke to work, we need to meet first before me starting my loop. And then when I see you again, I can sort of, you know, play up on it and start changing how I do things, you know, and, you know, making fun of your annoying character traits, right?
Annoying?
Yeah. Bada boom, bada bing, bing.
Bing.
Bing. Right in the kisser, right? Pow.
Ow.
Am I right? Right.
I gotta go.
I don't know what you're doing later, but can you call in sick?
Oh, I gotta go.
That was fabulous. It was a spin on Groundhog's Day.
Right. Am I right?
You're right. Episode.
He likes to bark his right. It's a little bit like a little dog, a little chihuahua.
Right.
Right.
Hey, this is episode 30. This feels...
Oh, congratulations. Happy birthday.
This feels... no, our 30th episode, you goof. This feels, you know, like a pivotal moment for
this
us.
It's either shit or get off the pot.
Yeah.
Oh, there's the swear jar.
Oh, ding. Bing!
Bing.
Maybe we'll use a bing instead for this episode.
Ching. Cha-ching, yeah. Cha-ching.
Cha-chang.
Cha-ching, cha-chong, cha-ching.
Whatever. Russ, tell us about episode 30.
That's right. Here on JARP, Just Another Review Podcast, we are looking at the second season of Russian Doll. We're going to watch the first episode of the second season of Russian Doll, and we're going to pair it with the Groundhog Day.
Now, we don't normally start with the second season of streaming series, but, you know, Russ has assured me that we can just jump right in. It doesn't matter that you've watched the first season of Russian Doll. You can just jump right into season two, according to Russ, right?
That's not what I'm saying at all.
No, that's what you told me.
I told you to watch season one.
No.
Can you cut this for a second? Okay. Sean. Before we did this, I told you, I was only going to do this if you watch season one.
Oh, God. No, you said you'd be okay to watch season two. You don't have to watch season one. I was like, okay. Whatever. Okay. Regardless, we've watched episode one of season two of Russian Doll.
And we've watched all of season one, right?
Right. For the sake of this episode, correct, Russ. You are correct.
Right.
Russian Doll Season 2, it stars Natasha Lyonne as Nadia. You may recognize Natasha from such films as American Pie. And TV series.
She was the pie.
She was the pie. She was the apple pie.
She was the apple pie. In American Pie.
She was Jim's dad. Mm-hmm. And she was in a show called Orange is the New Black.
Right. I know of that show, but I do not watch that show. And I heard it's good.
It's good. It's not. I don't think there's any. I don't think they're still doing it.
Maybe you could pick a season two of that, and we could just jump right into it, right?
The brand new season of Orange is the New Black, season two.
Yeah, you don't need to know anything about season
two. Charlie Barnett is also in this, playing Alan.
Charlie? Is that how you pronounce it?
Charlie.
Okay.
I said Charlie, didn't I?
I think you said Charlie.
Oh, wow. Either some say Charlie, some say Charlie.
It happens when you get older.
Charlie to Charlie, tomato, tomato. Okay. Greta Lee is playing Maxine. And Chloe Savigny.
Savecci?
I feel like Savecci, Chloe Savecci.
Savecci, isn't that an appetizer?
Cevecci? I think it's like a Mexican appetizer Cevecci. Where you use like lemon juice to like...
those Mexicans love shrimp. Their lemons.
And I love my lemons. Chloe Savecci was in the movie Kids.
Kids.
Right. And then she's also been in movies like Boys Don't Cry and American Psycho and The Dead Don't Die.
Ooh, Bill Murray movie.
And she was in a really good...
Boys Don't Cry with that guy. and she was in that movie Boys Don't Cry with Hilary Swank.
Yes.
Right? Exactly. Yes. Yes. She looks like a horse.
Hilary Swank?
Looks like a horse. So, just kidding. Fuck. And that. She's in Boys Don't Cry.
Okay, wait. I'll stop talking.
And she's in Boys Don't Cry with Hilary Swank.
That's right.
That's right, yeah. They did a big debate about Hilary Swank on The Office once, about whether she was good-looking or not.
Oh, on The Office?
On The Office, yeah. One of the episodes, they were talking about Hilary Swank, and they were the office was split between whether she was attractive or not. Oh. And which direction would you split on that?
I find she is attractive.
There you go. You should have been on The Office.
I should have.
You might have been the swing vote.
Should have, would have, could have. Chloe was also in a really cool HBO show called We Are Who We Are.
That sounds mysterious.
That was out last year, I believe, and it was really good. If you haven't checked that out, I recommend you do. Chloe's character is pretty cool. The series was created, and by series I mean Russian Doll, by Leslie Headland, Natasha Lyonne, and a little-known comedian named Amy Poehler.
Amy Poehler. All right. So Natasha Lyonne, she's kind of front running it as the actress and also helping write, and I believe she directs this episode as well. So exactly. Yeah, she's a multitude of talents here on Russian Doll. Right.
Right. And so like Sean has mentioned, this is the second season. The first season premiered on Netflix on February 1st, 2019. In the first season, it's very much a Groundhog Day experience. Therefore, that's the movie we picked, where she kind of repeatedly dies and relives the same night in a time loop and tries to solve it, leading her to find Alan, who's also in the same situation. So her and Alan are together in the last season and again this season, where the first season, it was kind of her 36th birthday. Now season two is leading up to her 40th birthday.
Oh, so we're 4 years after season one, right?
Correct.
In their present timeline, right?
In the present timeline.
Right.
Yes, a lot of timeline talk here. Yeah. So do you want me to get into the synopsis here, Sean?
Let's just get right into it.
Well, this is episode one of Russian Doll season two, called No When, directed and written starring Natasha Lyonne. The synopsis, here we go. After visiting her aunt, Ruth, in hospital, Nadia takes the sixth train to visit friend Maxine, but instead ends up in 1982.
Nice.
Unbeknownst to her, she's now living in her body of her mom, a la Quantum Leap style, but there's no Al to assist, so she slowly puts the clues together and finds Chez, a creepy con man who manipulates her to steal gold coins from her grandmother.
Give me my coins.
Do you think there were 30 coins? Mm. She heads back to 2022 and immediately goes to Alan, her fellow time prisoner,
someone
who is
from season one,
getting ready for a date and has not experienced the wormhole yet. Nadia confirms some details with Aunt Ruth and then heads back to 1982 to put things right, but Chez gets away with the gold. Nadia screams at no one in particular, "You f***ed my mom!"
That's harsh.
As Alan, back in 2022, enters the sixth train.
Dun, dun, dun. Good synopsis, Russell.
Oh, yeah, thank you. It was short and sweet.
It was. It was
just
good,
just like
though.
You.
Yeah. Oh, look at this. You're complimenting each other. I like that. The back and forth. That's how friendship works.
That's how friendship works.
Ding, ding.
I miss the reset song. I really enjoyed the Groundhog Day aspect of season one, where it was a constantly just like it, well, in Groundhog Day they used the "I Got You Babe" Sonny and Cher, and in Russian Doll they used "Gotta Get Up" by Harry Nilsson.
Sing that one.
Gotta get up. Do 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 do. Gotta get up.
Gotta get up.
Do 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 do.
I don't know the song. I'm just pretending that I do.
Gotta get up.
I imagine there's someone kind of in the background that says, maybe I have heard it. Maybe I'm subliminally kind of singing that line knowing that I have heard it.
I remember this. I actually haven't seen season one for many years, since 2019 to be exact. But I remember really enjoying the show, like flipping through Netflix and seeing the trailer. And
I remember you recommending it and me completely ignoring you and not watching it.
Oh, until 2 years later. And here we are.
Well, 4 years
later. 3 years
2019,
later.
February 2019. It's what? Now where did you April 22.
Now? I'm so done with 2022. Yeah, okay. So... Back into it.
You liked the first series.
I really liked the first season of Russian Doll.
Yes.
And here we are. We're not doing Groundhog Day, but we're doing more of a Quantum Leap type
feel. Yeah, there's no resets on, so I get... I know for a fact, in season one, you know, she reset. It was kind of like the day got reset. And now in this season two, she's just going back in time. We're not resetting the day. And when she went back in time, flip-flop, snip-snap... when she snip snapped for the last time, it was just a little, it was like where she picked up where she left off when she left in 1982. So she's not going back to 1982 to relive that day again to try and do things straight. She's just kind of picking up where she left
off.
The
moment she left, so she could spend 2 days back in 2022, but then she goes back to 1982. It's been like no time has gone by at all.
Yeah, I think so.
That's kind of cool.
That is cool.
I like how easy it is to just go back in time. Like usually, to do a time heist or to like travel in time, there's like there's something like whether it's technology or like getting the everything matched up, and her, it's just like, just gotta jump on train.
When do you think the time flip actually happens? Because the train has showed up, she can see the people inside, right? And the doors open and she steps in, and then it's not like everybody changes. So when the train shows up, that was the 1982 train. Right. So do you think just when she can see it, and then the minute she sort of steps onto the train
itself is the wormhole, or as soon as you step in,
I see.
Transports you.
Right, because it's going fast enough in it to traverse time and space. That's one heck of a subway train.
If it goes below 50 miles an hour, it blows up. Mm. Is that the speed? What was the speed in Speed?
I thought it was 65 miles.
65 miles an hour?
So it was about 100 kilometers an hour.
And if you go below that, the
bus, or maybe it was 50 miles. Yeah. That'd be hard to keep a bus like that. Yeah. Like turn those corners, going 100 kilometers.
Well, they did kill a pop can baby.
A pop can baby?
Didn't they at one point hit
somebody
carriage full of pop cans?
Yeah. She hit a carriage. Yeah. Sandra Bullock.
Thank God it was full of pop cans.
Oh, geez. This show certainly didn't take any reservations when putting children in danger. You know, a pregnant mom walking around drinking, eating lewds, and smoking cigarettes. Maybe she's not time traveling at all. Maybe this is something that dates back to her prenatal days, and Nadia is just, you know, finally experiencing the effects of her mother's substance abuse when she was in the womb. You know, it's been dormant for all this time. Now on her 40th birthday, she's getting the effects.
This is the way it always
prenatal
was.
Smoking.
This is the way it always was.
Right. Except she's just, I think that's, they're going to cop out at the end and they're just going to blame it on that. You know, she's going to wake up in the hospital.
When she gets to when she's in 1982 and she goes to the bar and she's like, I'd like a bourbon. And the bartender's like, you sure, hon? She's like, I've never been more sure than of anything. And I thought it was a sexist thing at first that he said, are you sure, hon? But then obviously watching the second time, I'm like, oh yeah, she's saying that because she's pregnant.
Right.
But he doesn't really hold to anything though.
Nobody seems reserved about handing this pregnant woman whatever substance she wants to.
Yeah, exactly. Right. She's like, a guy's giving her cigarettes. The bartender's like, yeah, okay, you're sure. Here's the bourbon.
Here we go.
I hope you have a blessed child. Mm. But you know, it was 1982. So did we know what we know now? If I knew then what I know now.
Because we were 4 years old. Do you remember anything when you were 4 years old?
My sister was born. So it was probably like, oh God, here we go.
But no, I'm asking you, can you actually recall any imagery?
Yeah, I remember being pissed off that my sister was born. It wasn't just me anymore. There goes my mom and dad.
Mm. That's when they started not paying attention to you anymore.
Yeah.
You never loved me, Mom. You never loved me, Dad. I just want to be loved. Christy ruined it.
Speaking of music, great needle drop of Depeche Mode.
Oh, I love that song.
Reach out and touch base.
Reach out and touch base. Remember my mom's cousin.
She was hot.
That's a little bit younger than her. I heard that. He kind of used to, I guess, quote unquote, babysit us when we were
quote unquote.
Well, just mean like we were young kids and my parents would go away and he would come stay at the house and make sure we didn't get into trouble we weren't actually babysat, but my parents weren't comfortable yet going on vacation. He was my cousin. Anyways, he was a big Depeche Mode fan and he's the one that introduced me to like Depeche Mode and In Excess and songs like Reach Out and Touch Faith.
I feel like I said space. Was it Reach Out and Touch Faith? This is like wrong verse pride over here.
I think it's Reach Out and Touch Faith. Faith.
F-A-I-T-H. Yeah. Reach out and touch. I want to say.
Faith. Space.
I want to say space.
Space, sure.
But I mean, Reach Out and Touch Face. Whatever. Face. Mm. Face off. It's Reach Out and Face Off.
Right. What?
It's the John Travolta Nicolas Cage film.
Oh. And you know, we know it's grounded in 1982 because of the Guardian Angels. You know, they were such a predominant thing with us up in Canada. No, we have no idea who these Guardian Angels are. I guess it was just something to help ground us. These
guys wearing red berets.
Yeah, yeah. And they help you walk a couple feet out of the subway and then send you on your way.
It was that's awesome that existed, but it was weird because it was just kind of like a wah, wah. He's like, hey, do you need help, ma'am? Do you need help getting home?
And she's clearly all messed up.
Yeah, I do need help getting home. Okay, let me walk you 10 feet. and then let you go at it.
Yeah.
You're welcome. That's not even getting me out of the subway station, let alone walking me home.
Right.
Thank you very much, Guardian Angels.
So why Nadia? What is, do you think, the underlying root of this? Like,
I think it's the 30 coins. I think it's the coin.
You need the coins.
Because like I think you watch season one and you go, why Nadia? Why Alan? Well, it just is. It just happened. The universe picked them.
And like, were they trying to redeem themselves for something that they did wrong in the past? Were they, you know, were they solving a mystery?
Well, season one, they needed to help each other. And once they were able to help each other, then the time loop kind of stopped.
And what did they help each other do? Just remind me, because, you know.
You didn't watch
I can't remember exactly.
Season one. Dude.
Totally, I didn't have to.
I told you you did have to. I'm going to my texts, you guys.
Everyone just hold on. Properly
taking
angry
out my phone
now. He doesn't realize
taking out my phone because
that I'm like
communicated this
trying,
I was
I'm trying to purposely make
it was very clear
because you
this.
Know it's entertainment
it
value
was very clear it,
you know the chirp's not good if we get along the whole time it, it's
cool. I'm thinking about
it increases our numbers if we fight a little bit so you watch know,
okay so here we go Friday.
No, you said this to my face.
Friday, April 22nd. I'm thinking about doing Russian Doll season 2 because it's kind of like a restart with a different premise, and then we can talk about our feelings of season 1. If season 2 can compare, etc. Thinking of either doing Groundhog Day or another time travel movie.
God.
You say cool.
He writes
I won't
way
be
too much.
Good much good for season 1 versus season 2 compare. I haven't watched the show. Groundhog Day will give us something to discuss. Dude, I say go watch season 1. It's a good watch with the wife. Sam, even trying to involve your wife. You say, so is that your pick, Russian Doll, season 2, episode 1? I say, and Groundhog Day? And I say, yes, but if you can watch season 1. And then you say, have you ever seen Sliding Doors? And then I go, if not, then I'll pick something else.
Okay.
And then you said, too late. I watched season 2, episode 1 already. Nice. Well, you need to watch
I took your dude. You have to go and watch season 1. It's good. Just like... Dude, season 1 is great. Go watch it with the wife. I didn't interpret that as dude, go watch season 1 to understand season 2. So, that's where our communication
I don't want to do this.
Can
anymore.
We just admit that you didn't okay.
Nope. No, we cannot because I specifically said
I think you should let's move on.
I said,
can we just move on?
How did you feel about season 2 not seeing season 1?
It's all right. I think you should I think you should read my notes in sequential order, one by one.
Your notes now?
Yeah. I think Russ should read my notes on this show.
Sean's notes.
Okay, let's go. Sean's notes. Okay.
Hi, I'm Sean. I never watched season one. Russ said it was okay to jump ahead. What is going on? Russ said it was okay to jump ahead. This girl has a bigger penis than me. Most likely Russ as well. Russ said it was okay to jump ahead. Joan Rivers and Adam Dice Clay had a daughter. Russ said it was okay to jump ahead. Why Nadia? What makes the universe choose her for this? Russ said it was okay to jump ahead. Did I miss something from season one? Russ said it was okay to jump ahead. Mirror scene could have been choreographed better. Was it that like that in season one? Russ said it was okay to jump ahead. This show encourages pregnant substance abuse. Is this why she skips in time? Russ said it was okay to jump ahead. How is Alan involved? Russ said it was okay to jump ahead. I hate you so much. That was funny.
This show sucks. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, you can tell me.
I think you should read my prediction too after that.
Okay. Now you read your prediction?
Yeah.
Prediction from Sean. She'll find her coins all in good time.
Don't.
Dun, dun, dun.
Such a dad joke.
Do you think there are 30 of them?
30 coins?
Yeah.
It looked like to be a bunch.
30 gold coins. So these are...
Yeah, you have a note about these coins. Yeah, I actually
Googled it. These are Krugerrands. Mm. Krugerrands. Mm. They're gold coins that were minted by the Republic of South Africa in 1967 to help promote South African gold to the international markets and to make it possible for individuals to own gold. Krugerrands are among the most frequently traded gold coins in the world market. Interesting.
So I wonder what their value is compared to other gold coins, and considering they're the most frequently traded.
I think gold is gold is gold. So it just depends on the weight of it.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, unless it's being like...
I don't know. I don't ever deal or trade.
Melted with something. But if it's pure gold, I would assume it's the
right,
same.
Right. It's just on the carat value of it and then how much weight of it that you have, right?
Right.
I guess.
I don't trade in gold, but I would assume.
Right.
It's one of those things where it's like, invest in gold. It never goes down.
Never changes.
Buy property, get gold.
Yeah, supposedly it's a good thing to sort of invest in.
Welcome to our investment podcast.
Buy gold.
Just another investment podcast.
Should we rate this thing? Or you got some more? You want to read more of my notes? Or?
No, I want to know. How did you like season two, episode one? If you've never seen season... Oh,
perfect. It's
Christ.
Part of my rating. It's part of my rating.
All right, here we go.
Okay.
This shit is awesome.
You suck.
This is... Oh, no. Look, yep, you nope. even wrote it.
Yes.
Sean explains the
Sean's going to explain how
this is where we rate season two, episode one of Russian Doll. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We don't believe in zeros. One being and five being it's the bee's knees. I will start, Russ, just because you were so curious. I gave this a 2.5 because Russ said it was okay to jump ahead, and clearly it was not. I'm not taking points off for any extra confusion that might have been a result of that, okay? I can appreciate Natasha Lyonne's directing chops for this episode, but I did not really like the character of Nadia and her over-the-top abrasiveness. The back in time to fix things scenario is nothing new, but points were awarded for cinematography, music, and the fact that it was only 30 minutes in runtime.
Yeah, I love a good 30-minute show.
I don't have much interest in continuing the series. But yeah, middle of the pack, 2.5, just mediocre in my books.
Yeah, I like the Andrew Dice Clay...
Joan Rivers mashup.
Yeah, she's like a little smart aleck. She likes to make the jokes.
Oh, she's just very, very, like boom, I said, boom, abrasive, boom. But I like, you know, I liked her acting in it, but I could only handle it for so much. It was just scene after scene of her sort of bursting through a room and being sort of like very loud and I don't know. Yeah.
I was okay with reading your little bit about her having a bigger penis than us, because there is a line directly from this season two, episode one, where she says, "My bladder is really fucking my dick tonight."
Oh.
That's a direct quote from Natasha's
character. She just has quite the swagger in her walk and just her...
She's super cool.
In her confidence. Yeah, she's got some big D confidence going on, that's for sure. So
I really like season one, but this first episode, the table setting of the first episode of season two, I gave it a 2.5. So I thought that the first episode didn't really excite me as much as the first season did. I was so hyped when I saw the... the trailer for the first season and even the first episode. But the characters are back and they feel pretty lived in, both her and Alan. It's kind of cool to see after they've been through like a little a time loop adventure that how their perspectives on time travel are and just like the universe. So neat to see like they're old veterans of this kind of shit. And there feels like there's a lot of potential here to sink into the backstory of their family history of Alan and Nadia. I assume Alan too, but definitely we're going to see Nadia.
It seems like she's not sure who her real father is, and maybe this will reveal it, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a hint that she knows her father wasn't a drug addict. He was more of an alcoholic, but there isn't a clear, like, I know my real father's name was Frank, and it wasn't Chez, some of my favorite lines. Here we go. Let me see some of my favorite lines. Call me when you're inside your mom, you fucking sicko. I like that one. Universe found something worse than death, being my mother. And then when the universe fucks you, you let it. There's some funny shit.
I like that line. When the universe fucks with you, let it. Maybe don't quite let it, but I get it. You know, sometimes
don't fight it.
Sometimes things are completely out of your control. Just roll with the punches. Maybe that's what that kind of means.
Yeah, 100%. I would say. Yeah, sure. Enjoy it.
Great.
Enjoy the ride. Don't fight it.
Great.
Feel like you want to throw up?
Okay.
Temperature check. This is where we go back and look at past things we have reviewed and we've continued on, and either we have enjoyed or haven't enjoyed finishing off the series. Russ, you start us off with Archive 81. Last podcast, you didn't have any updates for us.
Well, now
how about this one?
Yeah, I'm not going to have any more updates for you either.
Oh, that's okay. All right.
How about the tourist?
Tourist, I finished it. I did. It is only 6 episodes.
Okay, that's nice.
They are an hour long, though, so I think I would have been better off with 10. I don't know. I'm not just doing quick math. It probably doesn't even work out, but I'd be better with 10 episodes of 40-minute episodes. You know, maybe make them 15, 20 minutes shorter. I think I kind of made comment about that in my review of it. I felt the hour runtime was a little bit long for the type of series that it was. Yeah, I gave it a 3. I think it stuck at a 3 the whole way. It didn't really get much better, but didn't really get any worse. They did keep up with the whole kind of quirky, serious tone, then off to quirky kind of universe.
Fargo,
yeah, just Canada. Kind of some awkward scenes and stuff like that and interactions with everybody. You know, sort of a dark comedy, I guess it was trying to be at the end. But yeah, going back and listening to... our last podcast, a lot of my predictions were bang on. He
applied directly to the forehead.
Yeah, yeah. He was a bad guy.
A bad guy.
He was a bad dude before losing his memory, and he did do his best to redeem himself and do good. And oh geez, what's her name? Helen. Helen, the would-be cop, it was a very good character arc for her in becoming sort of more independent and learning that
badass.
She's feeling that she's worth more and
confidence.
So it was good. It wasn't bad. Not as great as I was hoping, but it wasn't a horrible either. And only 6 episodes, so yeah, maybe watch it, maybe don't. I don't really give a shit.
I gotta take off my jacket here.
Okay, Russ is getting really hot because I got him all hot headed.
Yeah,
I got him all hot headed from his text message. Now he's got it. Russ, put your shirt back on. I'm not interested in that.
Ooh. I'm getting naked.
What kind of tattoo is that?
It's a dove.
A dove with a giant
coming out of a box. A dove coming out of a box.
Coming out of a box. Yeah. And Russ's favorite song is also Seal, "Kissed by a Rose."
That's right. That's why it says.
If I've got a dove and a bug tattooed on my chest,
you
and they fly away.
I'll be back. Sean, I'd like to set the stage here.
Yes.
The year was 1993.
I don't remember much.
We were enjoying such movies as True Romance
and
What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
Oh, Juliet Lewis is in that.
On the radio, we were listening to Creep. Or Insane, The Brain.
Ooh, I like that.
Or I Can Do Anything for Love.
Oh, Meatloaf, God rest his soul.
On the television, we were watching Angela Lansbury on
you
Murder,
were.
She Wrote.
I never enjoyed that show.
What?
No, I never enjoyed Murder,
well,
She Wrote.
You're an idiot, and
I'll
you
take
hate
that.
Life.
No, that's okay.
But also, the truth was out there.
What's that?
X-Files.
Oh, okay.
Right. And the commercial, We Got Milk.
Again, I never got into X-Files. You never got either.
No. How about Milk? Did you ever?
I love Milk. I'm the person that walks down to the fridge in the middle of the night and will drink out of the milk jug. Yeah, and then go back to bed. I loved it.
Okay, I'm gonna say something, and I want you to sing the first song that comes to your head. We were in grade 9.
This is me in grade 9, baby. Oh, this is me in grade 9.
This is me.
This is me in grade 9, baby. Oh, this is me in grade 9. Bare Naked Ladies.
There we go. But what we're talking about is Groundhog Day, the 1993 film directed by Harold Ramis.
Oh,
screenplay.
God, another God rest his soul.
By Dan. No, he's back alive. He was in that recent Ghostbusters.
Oh, right. He was in Ghostbusters.
Screenplay by Danny Rubin and Harold Ramis, starring Bill Murray as Phil Connors. Also,
Phil?
Well, Ned?
Ned? Phil!
Nope. And Andie MacDowell's in it, and Chris Elliott's in it.
Oh, Chris Elliott. We like Chris Elliott, don't we?
We like Chris Elliott.
He didn't get enough in this movie for me, man.
You wanted more Chris?
I want more Chris. I want more Chris. He's really funny. He didn't get enough lines in this movie.
Yeah.
Or he had lines, but he didn't have any way to be funny about them. You know, he just kind of had to deliver them. Like, what kind of pastry would you like, Jeff? And he's like, oh, well, I'll have the raspberry one.
Yeah.
You know, that was
kind of it. That was my favorite line. You know what I actually need? I need a recommendation to watch a good Chris Elliott production, because I feel now all I've got is this and Schitt's Creek in my head, and I don't think either of them do him much justice. So what should I watch to get some good Chris Elliott?
Something About Mary.
Okay. Right. Of course. He's disgusting in that, isn't he?
Yeah. He gets his screen time in Something About Mary. And I think we should try and source that old Fox show that he was on. Herman's Head.
Right.
Was it?
Yeah. I think that's, you've talked about this already.
No. Was it? Yeah. Yeah. We talked about this before. Let's move on.
Okay. So this was a good box office hit. It got $105 million out of a, between $15 to $30 million budget.
This movie was inducted into the National Film Preservatory.
Because it's so good.
I forget what their... It was culturally...
Significant.
Significant at the time or something like that. And it was... I don't know. I forget. I forget to read the criteria. But it is preserved now forever.
Yeah.
Well, it's a vault somewhere.
It's a great film. And there's probably like huge... there's things that people just... always will have in their brain when they associate this, the festival of Groundhog's Day, just they automatically associate with the movie. Like, it's made a cultural stamp on all of our psyches.
It's like one of those ones you can always be like, oh right, yeah, Groundhog's Day. Like, everybody sort of remembers it and remembers it well, and yeah, so I don't know.
And we've talked a lot about the Ned Ryerson character played by Stephen Tobolowsky, which was amazing. He's like, he resonates with you. You leave that theater thinking about Ned.
Ned?
But very funny movie. Bill Murray is hilarious.
I remember this movie being great, and I was so excited to watch it, and I still think it... No. And okay. I still think it's a good movie, but it wasn't as great as I had remembered it. Mm. And I'm not saying it's not good. I'm just saying I remembered it being great and me being like, oh, the whole thing, but maybe, maybe because I've seen it a couple times. Maybe. Maybe I'll give it that. So if I was to go back maybe I don't remember the first time seeing it, but I do probably remember that I quite enjoyed it.
Do you remember your first time?
I do remember my first time, but we're not going to get into it.
How was that?
It was an experience.
Oh, yeah.
It was definitely an experience. Yeah. It's quite the story.
Okay, well, we've got some time.
Yeah. Okay. The year is 1995. 2 years after the Groundhog's Day film release.
And still on top of your mind.
I believe it was sometime in January as Sean was grounded from attempting to have a New Year's Eve party at his house.
Was I invited?
Yes, Russ was invited.
And you attempted, so you...
I attempted to have a New Year's Eve party, and we waited until my parents left. They were going to another party. I thought about this, and probably a good thing my parents came back home. Anyway, so they left...
Right.
And came back in about half an hour claiming they forgot something, but really they knew something was up. Yeah. So they came back and beers were out. And
We were on it.
Was I there? We were already on it. No, I don't know. I don't feel like I was there. Probably. I don't see why I wouldn't have invited you.
But I mean, I'm sure I was coming, but I was just fashionably
late. You're losing the we're talking about my first time.
How it impacts me. Okay, go for it.
Okay, right. This is how it impacted my first time. No. Okay. You were not there. So anyways, I'd gotten busted.
I wasn't there at that one.
No. Not that time. No, yeah. Another time you were. I was grounded. My punishment was yang, something else, but also one of them was because my house was kind of the hangout zone. I wasn't allowed anybody over for a month. Ooh. So here I have my girlfriend, and she's over illegally at my house.
Illegally?
Trespassing.
There's a
toy. My dad had put a no trespassing sign outside, and she just totally fucking ignored it and walked in the house. I was like, okay. And she ripped my clothes. She's like, take me now. It's our first time. I was like, all right. So, you know, we're upstairs and my eyes couldn't be bigger than saucers, you know, and here I am having sex for the first time and sort of midway, all of a sudden I hear the garage door downstairs start to open up. My bedroom's above the garage. It was my father coming home early. Why? I have no idea. The universe just fucking hated me that day. So, butt naked, I grabbed her and all our clothes and we ran downstairs, two flights of stairs to our basement. So from the top floor down to the main floor, then down to the basement, just missed him coming through the door, and I threw her in my sister's room, threw her in her closet, and even in my sister's closet there was another there's another little room where we had the sump pump that was taking up like water because our basement was originally flooded when we first built the house. So there was a sump pump kind of always like making sure his water didn't come up. I went so far as to throw her into this little tiny cement room that's like no drywall. She's butt naked with her clothes in her hands. And there's like exposed like fiberglass and shit. Like, I'm like, just hide in here. And I close the door and go upstairs and, you know, deal with my father. And I don't know. I don't remember how I got her out of the house, but yeah. He must have came home for a little bit and then left or went upstairs to have a nap. And I think I thank God my dad was hard of hearing. So he never heard us sneak her out, you know. And I think you've mentioned that too, you know, us sneaking out at night. It's amazing they never heard us. But a testament to my dad's awesome hearing, I guess. Anyways, that's the story of my first time.
I meant first time watching this movie.
No, you didn't. Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh my God! Why did I just run just joking. All that out?
That was great.
There you go. Embarrassing story.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That's kind of a good story for the first time, eh? I might not have climaxed, but you know what? I've got a story to tell at my children's wedding.
Are you going
to
say that at your children's wedding?
Maybe. I don't think they want
to
get married.
I think so there could be a moment at your children's wedding where I think it would be important to know how their dad had sex the first time.
Yeah,
to probably. Someone unrelated to their mother.
I'll work it in somehow and embarrass the shit out of them.
I could see maybe after photos, but before like the main reception.
Mm. That's a good time.
That is a good time. Just kind of break the ice.
The lull time, right?
And then you could just have an open mic and anyone could come up and tell stories about how they lost their virginity. Like right. Grandmas, uncles, cousins that used to babysit you. Like just anything.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we should plan your daughter's weddings right now.
No, let's wait till after you finish the podcast and then you can stick around and we can do it.
We'll do just another wedding podcast. Joap.
So Russ, they say that the art of mastering a craft of something like playing the piano, learning to draw, mastering something to get a PhD in or whatever, the art of mastering something, they say takes an average of about 10,000 hours.
Okay.
So in this movie, Bill Murray has mastered the piano, ice sculpting, and this and that. And I did a little quick math. And at, piano lessons at 1 hour a day, and for him to do 10,000 hours to master it, so 10,000 hours of piano practice or whatever, 1 hour a day, that would take him 27 years to have learned the piano.
Right.
Now, if that was 1 hour a day. Now, he did hand that lady $1,000, so let's just say maybe she gave him 4 hours, right?
4 hours a day.
4 hours, but that's still, what's 27 divided by four of us? I can't even think about math right now.
I would say it's almost probably seven, like seven. Yeah. Yeah. 21, 20, yeah. Yep. Yeah. 28, yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
7 years.
Yeah. So still 7 years. But can to you do learn that one multiple piano stint?
Can, but is that 7 years just for the piano? And yeah. Then 7 years just for the ice sculpting?
Yeah.
7 years for boom.
And,
boom,
and we're
boom.
Saying 4 hours a day, and that's pretty.
He's a doctor too.
Exactly. So I think the original idea or script that Danny Rubin, when he wrote the script, I think he had a feeling that Phil has been in this time loop for 10,000 years, whoa. I believe, was the original.
10,000 years or hours?
Years.
10,000 years.
Years. Years. Phil Connors went through this time loop for 10,000 years. So the original script is actually supposedly much darker than this movie. It didn't have much of a romantic comedy, and there were some more darker sides of the mental stability, I think, of Phil and having to repeat this day. 10,365,000 times. So
days.
Yeah.
You said years.
Yeah. No, I said 10,000. Oh, I said 10,000 years.
Yeah. Okay. 10,000 yeah. years.
So 10,000 years times 365 days.
Yeah. That's a lot.
It's
it's a lot, yeah, of, a lot of
3
time.
Million. Right.
Okay. So as a comparison, in the movie Palm Springs, which we've talked about on this podcast, Niles, played by Andy Samberg, he spent over 40 years in the loop, more than 14,600 days before kind of the movie starting.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, Phil Connors has Niles beat hands down.
But so the thing that I liked about Palm Springs is there is like this acceptance and just almost like a, I've given up at this point. Like, why would I, you know, where I don't think we ever see this in Bill Murray.
We don't. Supposedly there was a scene where he shaved his head completely bald and spray painted his room. And then it kind of pulls out and snaps or dissolves to the next day. But supposedly in the editing suite, they couldn't make it work.
Right.
So they switched the scene to where Bill Murray just breaks the pencil and puts it by his nightstand and then falls asleep and wakes up to show that, you know, the day has reset.
Interesting.
Yeah. So they did have a couple but scenes that explored on. A darker side of it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot of time.
Supposedly they made a point to not try and touch on the darker side of things that would be in Phil's disposal being able to do and get it, like murder or kidnapping, right. Or whatever, something like that. Yeah. I think kidnapping the hedgehog and then going off the cliff was probably the darkest thing.
Well, we see him manipulating women, you know, trying to, you know, learning about them so he can manipulate them the next time he sees them to get them to fall in love with him very quickly. We, you know, it's like there's a one woman with a French maid outfit. We don't really know who that character is. And then there's another character who we spend a little bit more time in, Nancy. And then he obviously does that to Andy McDowell's character as well, Rita. But like at one point he walks around the cafe and he knows everybody in the cafe by name. And I wonder if he knows them because at one point he tried to manipulate them too. Like
he had some sort of interaction with them. Yeah, whether it was for good or bad.
Most likely bad based on how he kind of starts his whole trajectory.
Maybe. I think by that point he had sort of taken the choice to be better, you know? And then that's when he invested the time in learning the piano and ice sculpting. So he kind of went through this transition and then spent who knows how many years just trying to better himself, I guess, not being the jerk that he was. So I don't know. Maybe it happened before, but I have a feeling he knew them from good deeds, from being good Phil. Maybe not so much bad Phil.
Good Phil.
Yes, good Phil. Not bad Bill.
You know what really still sticks with me is the old man.
Oh.
Like he still kind of makes me sad every time I see, like I really feel for him. Like just the way how he holds that bowl of soup and he just kind of sips away on his spoon. I'm always like, that kind of gets me every time.
Oh, dude, I was watching this movie this morning or whatever, and yeah, I was pretty choked up watching that scene. I think, you know, just because the old man, he doesn't say anything, but just right. His acting, and he just seems
so good.
It is. It's a really small, short scene, but just the old man seems so appreciative of Phil Connor's, you know, kindness and stuff like that. It was a real turning point for Phil, I think, too. That was the real, you know, where he learned, I think he felt that things are more important than, you know, being a jackass or you know, his needs are always the most important thing. I don't know.
So I believe this was Lester Burton Podwell, born in 1907, died in 1998.
You're talking about the old man?
The old man. He was in Groundhog Day. He's named the old man in 1983. In 1983, he also does a movie called Blink where he plays the old man.
Oh.
And in 1984, he's in a movie called The Naked Face where he plays the old man.
Right. Kind of a niche actor, eh?
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. He got into acting at a very old age.
A very old age to play the old man. But yeah. I'd like to see more. I'd like to have less in every movie.
You know that the guy that holds up the hedgehog and the guy choking in the restaurant, you know that's Bill Murray's real brother? Yeah. I always forget that until I read the little trivia about it. That's cool that they got to act and film together and, you know, have a couple scenes together like that. So, yeah. I believe they're also in Scrooged together. I believe his brother is kind of like the CEO of the network.
Brian Doyle Murray.
I don't know.
I bet you they were probably in a lot of like little cross.
I think a significant thing about this movie, I believe this was the last working experience between Bill Murray and Harold Ramis. I think this was the camel the straw that broke the camel's back. And they stopped talking after the production of this film.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Actually, I wanted to, you can cut this if you want, but I did really want to kind of look at Harold Ramis's like filmography and kind of get a good idea as far as like where he was in his career when he was doing this movie compared to like some of his earlier ones like Meatballs and National Lampoon's Animal House.
I think he was trying to go somewhere with this, and because you see some of the casting choices he had, he was looking at Michael Keaton for this role and a couple other people, but he felt that they were too nice. You know, obviously Bill Murray has a bit of a reputation for being a bit of a jackass actually in real life, so I think this character probably suited him well. But yeah, I think you know, I think Harold Ramis, although this is a comedy, you know, I think he took a very serious approach to it. And I don't know. How many more movies of this caliber did he do after this?
So he, I don't he know directed, his filmography. Okay, so he did after he directed before this, he directed things that are notable are Caddyshack, National Lampoon's Vacation. Did Groundhog Day in 93. And then after that, probably the stuff that sticks out for me is Analyze This.
Okay.
With Robert De Niro and Billy Crystal.
Right.
He also did Multiplicity. Is that the one with
Michael Keaton and Andy McDowell are in that? Right. He plays like multiple people.
I remember seeing that in the theaters. Hence the title. But I can't recall.
Oh, I never seen it. I just know of it. And then I think that was kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, he directed some episodes of The Office. So yeah. I wonder how he was on the debate of...
Maybe he had his time, you know, Meatballs, Caddyshack, Vacation, this. I mean, I don't remember Meatballs at all, but the other two in this one, you know, substantial movies, probably, you know, maybe he's not winning any Oscars, but you know, he's got one of them preserved in the National Film Preservation thing. I mean, that's quite an achievement to make a movie of this caliber, beloved by so many people, that it gets that kind of recognition. So maybe that's it. Maybe he got his rosebud. I don't know.
Oh,
is that right?
A sleigh?
He got a sleigh. He got a little sleigh. He finally got his sleigh.
The one thing that mattered to Citizen Kane as a child, and then money got in the way.
Yeah.
Well, cheers to Harold Ramis.
So this movie is good. I recommend anybody who hasn't seen this movie watch this movie, and anybody that's thinking about rewatching it, go for it. This is a good movie.
And you know what time it is? It's random generic trivia game.
Nice.
This is where we've got a deck of cards. I bought a trivia game, movie trivia game from London Drugs. We just deal out three cards each, and we're going to ask three questions to each other, and whoever gets the most questions right wins. We've done two games already and from our last two podcasts. I barely won the first one. Sean definitely won the second one. And we'll see. Sean, because you...
This is funny. Uh-oh. This is funny. I've got a good one.
Because you won, you get to go first, I guess. You get to ask first.
This is not one of my questions, but one of my questions here on the card is, what movie takes place on February 2nd again and again?
Whoa.
If you got that one wrong. Okay.
No, I'll pass.
What is the Pink Panther?
Shit.
The movie The Pink Panther. So what is The Pink Panther?
Is it like jewels? Is it like a jewel or something?
Jewel? I don't know. Do we do half points? It's a large pink diamond.
Ah, okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Peter Sellers. And I remember watching that movie a long time ago, wondering where Pink Panther was. And he wasn't there. Okay, here we go. What Canadian directed the movie The Sweet Hereafter?
The Sweet Hereafter.
Yeah, Sarah Polley. She was in it. She didn't direct. She does direct.
Oh, that's funny because I was going to say that. Canadian. I don't know. Paul, what's his face?
Good old Paul, what's his face? Atom Egoyan.
Oh, Atom Egoyan. Yeah. You know,
yeah, you knew how to pronounce his last name better than I did.
Yeah, but I did not know the answer. Sean's to that. So zip, zip, oh. Zip, oh, zip.
Don't I have half a point?
Okay, well, we'll see.
I could have said a panther. What is the Pink Panther?
You could have. You did say a jewel, which is sort of there.
Kind of like a pink diamond. I knew that it was a...
These are way too easy.
Give me an easy one. Give it to me.
Oh, okay. Here's a cool one. What is Dorothy's last name in The Wizard of Oz?
Oh, God. I want to say...
Two, three.
I want to say Gable, but that's not right. Great. Dorothy Gable. I don't know.
Pretty close. Gale.
Dorothy Gale. Gale. Interesting.
But, you know, we don't give half points for wrong answers. So.
Well, so far, that's all I get. Is half points. Here we go. What kills Donnie Darko? A gunshot, a jet engine, or an explosion?
A jet engine.
That's right. Damn it. I thought that was going to be a harder question when I first saw. Didn't know I was going to give you the answer. Darn it. Questions. Darn it all. Right now you've got 1 point. I've got... A decimal of a point.
Mm-hmm.
The only way I can
tell. Fraction.
Here we go.
A small fraction.
Here we go. Should Russ and Sean make
film what podcasts? Top grossing Japanese thriller provided the plot line for The Ring?
I don't know, dude.
It's very close. It's to the movie of its American counterpart.
The Bracelet.
Ringu.
Ringu, of Ringu, course.
Just out of you, Russ. The Ringu.
Of course. Well, you win. Would you like your third question?
Sure, let's do bonus points. Let's see if I can take her home.
Yeah, here we go. What gets stolen from the dude in The Big Lebowski?
An area rug.
That's right. See how I ask you nice questions?
It's just I'm smarter. This is not true. I'm not smarter.
I just want you to remember this round of how I asked you these.
I don't know how to read text messages.
Nice questions.
Properly.
Anyways, that was Random Trivia Game where Sean once again won.
2-1. Even if I gave you a half point, wouldn't it matter, wouldn't it?
Yeah. You know what? Maybe next week when we do this, next week, in 2 weeks when we do this again, maybe we just give each other one card and we have to ask those three.
Okay. Okay. Because then...
Because then we're just really trying to search out the hardest questions.
And it's just luck.
And it's obviously sounding like we can't answer hard trivia questions about film, but maybe we can answer easy ones.
Maybe.
Anything else you got before we head out here, Sean?
No, that's great. I was going to pick Outer Range for next, but you've already been watching it and ruined it. So now I got to think of something completely
new. Six episodes in, Outer Range on Amazon Prime, and I recommend it.
Okay, nice. Cool. You know what sucks is that my, I know it has to do with aliens or at least extraterrestrials or just weird stuff like that.
Nope.
Oh, okay. Not. Well, good. Then maybe my wife will watch it because she doesn't like aliens.
There's no aliens yet.
Perfect. All right. We're watching it after Ozark, actually. We've got Ozark.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was going to ask you, actually.
I haven't. We've got to binge it before before I see something online or somebody spoils it for me or whatever. So, yeah, we better get on that quick before the word gets out how it ends
because
I have no idea.
And then you'll let me know if it's worth picking up
again. Oh, it's worth it. So it is. I do understand those people that say that it got outlandish and all that. I totally agree with that. But I like that about it. So, yeah. Okay. Anyways, cool. Love you, buddy. Take care, man. Take it easy.
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast. We pick a show.